Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony. I've been really looking forward to today. I have a great interview lined up. I'm joined by L.A. Marzulli. Welcome, L.A.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's awesome to be able to talk to you from the other side of the world, and I'm sure it's a lot warmer there today than it is here. It's pretty raining and cold here, but anyway. Hey, I've had a look at the trailer for Watchers 10, which I believe is due out in June or July. It looks very interesting, and our friend Matt says it looks awesome. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about what you have been doing and what they can expect here?
I'd love to. Watchers 10, we're calling it DNA. That's our working title, and it should be out in July. If you want to see the trailer, you can go to ppsreport.com, ppsreport.com, or my YouTube channel, L.A. Marzulli, and up it will come, or lamarzulli.net. So there's all sorts of ways to check it out. There is a presale for it right now. We're offering a year's free subscription to our e-magazine, which is just packed full of all sorts of wonderful articles by people. But look, Watchers 10 is the culmination of probably 3 or 4 years of worth of research. We've done some DNA testing, which we will actually reveal those results in Watchers 10. We are still, even as I speak, we are still in the process of researching and doing more testing. What we are finding is extremely intriguing. We have also found that there is a direct cover-up. We have found direct evidence of that cover-up. We will reveal some of that in Watchers 10. There's also, again, cover-up stuff, people that can't come on the camera because of security issues. They just can't come on camera. So we disguise their faces, disguise their voices. But the tales that they told us were absolutely incredible. And all this is in Watchers 10. We think, literally, it's groundbreaking. George Norrie came in on it. His you can see his face and what he has to say in the trailer. It's groundbreaking stuff. And people, we feel that people really need to hear this and see it. This information should be made public. It should be available so people understand what's going on the planet.
Sounds great. And I believe you're also writing a book. Is that right?
Yeah, I am. It's basically finished. We'll be going to press here very shortly. It is called Nephilim Hybrids and deals with a lot of the issues that we talk about in Watchers 10, but from a different perspective, because it's just me writing instead of filming everything. And I also talk about issues and investigations that I've done apart from the show. For instance, you'll get my whole weigh-in on Lovelock Cave, which I was spent many hours actually there, and also researching, many hours in the research, talking to people, following a lot of cold trails. Lovelock Cave was in Nevada. It goes back to the Paiute legend of red-haired cannibalistic giants, which were burned in the cave, rounded up, and they bivouacked into the cave, and as they tried to come out through the fire, the Native American Paiute tribe would shoot them. So all this is in the book, Nephilim Hybrids, and of course you'll definitely want to check out what we're doing with Watchers 10.
Sounds great. And do you have any plans to do a Nephilim Mounds 4 conference at all?
Not right now. You know, we sort of said the Nephilim 3 would be the last one, and you know, it is right now. There's no plans to do a 4. I will be at Colorado Springs in July at Prophecy Watchers Conference, which, by the way, is sold out, but you can still get live streaming. And with that in mind, I will be presenting the new material from a new book and, of course, material from Watchers 10 at that conference. So that's the best I can do, at least at the moment.
Okay, sounds good. So can you give the people a little bit more of an idea about what you've been doing recently and with all of this stuff? Because it sounds extremely interesting.
Well, we just got back from Canada. We did a whirlwind trip up to Canada. We flew in one day, did the interviews the second day, and then flew back the third day. So, you know, jet lag a go-go, and your stomach's just getting acclimated when you rip it out of one time zone into another. But we went up there and we talked to the geneticist there on camera. We filmed all the lab. We filmed the results with the geneticist telling us, you know, right on camera what he discovered. And you'll hear that. And look, people go, oh, hey, you know, this stuff should be free to the public. Well, you fly up to Canada on your nickel and you do the DNA testing. I mean, you know, I'm so sick of the millennials. You know, all this stuff should be free. Well, you know, who's putting gas in your car, pal? And it costs us money to do this stuff. And I'd love to do it free. If you want it for free, then you know, contribute to what we do. But, of course, no one will do that. They just want it for free. The bottom line is this. It costs money to do this stuff. We spent thousands of dollars, often from our own pockets, from the last proceeds of the Watchers film. And we go out and we make it happen. And we're excited by it. But, you know, people... $20 for a DVD, plus you get a year's free subscription, that's $24 right there. So, you know, we're giving stuff away, but we need your support. So just go to the, you know, do the pre-sale, buy the thing, watch it, invite a bunch of people over, and check out the information once we reveal it.
Yeah, I understand exactly where you're coming from. None of this is free. I mean, even for us, you know, the amount of time that goes into making these shows and everything else, it's you know, you've got to be able to live, you've got to be able to pay the expenses, and you've got to be able to actually do the researching. And it all takes money.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And that's what people don't get. I mean, when we fly to Canada, who's buying the airplane tickets? Who's paying for the hotel and the rent a car and, you know, taking people out to lunch and blah, blah, blah. But we love what we do, and it's exciting because we are out in the field and we're talking to people and we're getting their take on it. And then we show them, you know, they didn't know what they were researching. And then we show it to them. You know, we bought models of the elongated skulls from Peru, models that Joe Taylor cast for us, which are absolutely incredible. And they're just holding these things going, oh, my gosh, they're blown away. So it's really exciting. And I think people, once they see the evidence, I think they'll be excited too.
So is there a major cover-up of giant skeletons and skeletons with six fingers and the elongated skulls? Who's doing it and why?
Absolutely, they're doing it. The powers that be, academia, the Darwinists, in my opinion, because the reason for it is it points back to two things. The veracity of a Native American oral tradition, which states many tribes, the Paiutes, the Chumash, the Paspeblo, Chief Joseph's tribe, Tieno, the Cherokee, all talk about, and I just named a few, Navajo, all talk about the giants. They all talk about it. They were there. Their people conquered them. They were there in the land. All right, am I making this stuff up? I'm not. So the giants point back to the veracity of a Native American oral tradition, which the Darwinists don't like, because it throws a monkey wrench, no pun intended, into the whole Darwinian paradigm. However, it points back even further. It points back to the veracity of the biblical prophetic narrative, which talks about the liaison between the fallen angels and the women of Earth, creating a hybrid being known as the Nephilim. I believe it is my theory that these Nephilim tribes, 3,500 years ago, when Joshua and Caleb went into the Promised Land and prosecuted the war, they were exterminating Nephilim tribes, and these Nephilim tribes fled the area. Some went northward in Europe, which meant Sardinia in Italy, and further up from there. Others went further and came down eventually in North America. Others built papyrus boats, and Thor Heyerdahl already proved it. You wind up in Barbados. Just put up a sail, you wind up in Barbados, okay? So this is what's going on here. And people need to understand that there is a hidden history, as Scotty Walter says, on American Earth. There's a hidden history. It's been deliberately obfuscated. In the book and in the DVD, we show this deliberate obfuscation by the powers that be.
Yes, yeah, I've heard a lot of that sort of thing. And a lot of articles that came out in newspapers and things, even in the 1800s, you know, documenting a lot of this stuff, and
sure,
and it's all
absolutely
disappeared. Yeah. So what do you feel personally, from your perspective, is the difference between fallen angels, Nephilim, and demonic entities?
Well, let's start with the fallen angels. Fallen angels are very intelligent, very powerful entities, which for whatever reason, and we're not told, but I think, I could speculate, the nature of the rebellion in the heavenly realm, and I believe this happened thousands of years ago, which created a cataclysmic universe. There was a war, And these angels rebelled. We don't know the source of it, but I would say that they wanted to be worshipped. They no longer wanted to worship the Most High God and wanted to be worshipped themselves. And they rebelled with the fallen cherub, Satan. And I realize to some people that sounds like mythos, that sounds like fairy tales. Why should we believe the Bible over, let's say, the Norwegian mythos? What's the difference? Well, Norwegian mythos actually incorporates some of the rebellion with the gods and the demigods, just like the Greek mythos does also. Look, something's going on here. And fallen angels have left their first estate. And in my book, The Cosmic Chess Match, I mean, I addressed all this. And that's why I wrote it, because there is genetic manipulation going on by these entities. It's gone on in the past, and it's going on in modernity, in the present. And it ties in to the biblical prophetic narrative and tells us exactly what's going to happen. Jesus warns us it'll be like the days of Noah when he returned. And that means we need to study what the days of Noah really were like and then extrapolate from that and say, well, is it happening today? And in my opinion, it is.
So how did demons come about?
Demons are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim that were wiped out during the flood. Nephilim are a hybrid being, part fallen angel and part human. They are what I would consider soulless. They have no soul, but they have a spirit somehow. And don't ask me how any of this stuff works. I don't know. I just know it's there. And I think that the demons need something to inhabit in order to manifest in this dimension where a fallen angel doesn't. A fallen angel can just metaschismatosai, which in the Greek means they can shapeshift. They can change their appearance. Metaschismatosai. Thank you, Russ Dizdar, who told me about that word. Metaschismatosai in the Greek, they change their appearance. They shapeshift. They become anything that they want to become. They can appear as an angel of light. They can just manifest in this dimension. But a demon needs something to inhabit, a dog, a person, something, in order to attach itself to. And that's the difference. So you've got the Nephilim, which roamed the earth at one time, which then became the disembodied spirits of a Nephilim, became the demons.
So that would have happened during like the Great Flood when they were all wiped out. So
That's when it happened.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when it happened.
And what about after the flood?
After the flood, there are multiple incursions, just like what's going on now. For some reason, and I don't understand this, there are some researchers who insist that, one incursion, that's it, no more. Well, I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I don't see a mandate saying that, it's only going to happen once and never again. I don't see that. My late mentor, Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, believed in multiple incursions. Gary Stearman, multiple incursions. Tom Horn, Chuck Missler, multiple incursions. And the list is endless. But there are a few who insist that somehow it's not multiple incursions. There's one researcher who used to be a close friend of mine, and I still consider him a friend. I hold nothing against him. I just think his views are absolutely wacky, and they impugn the character of the Most High God. He believes, let me take a slurp here, he believes that somehow Ham's wife was a Nephilim, and that impugns the character of God. And I've gone to him with this, because in the Genesis 6 narrative, it says, God is saying in Noah, Noah, you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives. That's a vetting process. That's a vetting process. And he says it twice. Noah, you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives. Those are the people that go on the ark. Nobody else. And to think that Ham's wife is a Nephilim impugns the character, in my opinion, of a Most High God.
It would make the purpose of the flood null and void, really, because
Absolutely.
if he was seeking to wipe out the corrupted DNA, why on earth would he let one of them in the ark?
Exactly. It makes no sense, and it impugns the very character and righteous holiness of him. It turns God into a trickster. And that's why I've broken fellowship with this man. Not because I don't like him. I love him as a brother. But I think he is in such grave error, and he won't be corrected. He insists that he's right. So insist that you're right. But I'm going to continue, without mentioning his name, I'm going to continue to blast away, and just like I just did. Because people need to understand that this is, in my opinion, a very heretical position to take, because it impugns the character of God.
Agree. And so we see today Jesus saying, you know, all the signs of Matthew 24 are coming to pass. And so that would assume then that these Nephilim-type beings would be beginning to roam the earth again, of course, unless they've always been here, but certainly increasing. Would that be right?
Well, that's what we think. Am I seeing any evidence of giants? I'm seeing evidence of black-eyed kids, which we just interviewed a man who had an encounter with one. This would be my third person that I've actually spoken to that has actually seen one. I have no desire to see any of this stuff. I really don't. I don't go looking for it. But people contact me, and then I interview them, and I post the interview. Because people need to understand that this stuff is real, and it's beginning to manifest in ways that we've never seen. So Nephilim, absolutely. I think that the black-eyed kids are, in my opinion, and I'm speculating, I would posit that they are, in fact, modern-day Nephilim.
So what are your views on aliens and what people are calling aliens and alien greys and those sorts of things?
I think the greys are constructed biological suits, artificial biological suits that the demons can inhabit, which then enable them to manifest in this dimension. That's what I think they are.
That's interesting. So do you see any thoughts of the possibility of, like, perhaps a devastating catastrophic event soon, maybe global economic collapse, escalation of war, or an EMP followed by some sort of alien disclosure?
Absolutely. You just outlined a very plausible scenario, which I actually included in both the Cosmic Chess Match, Days of Chaos book. We've talked about it at ppsreport.com. I constantly bang that drum because I think that's where it's going. I think we're looking at an economic collapse. Watch the silver and gold market. Watch the Chinese yuan, because they've already moved that up the ladder to try to make that the global default currency. America is $20 trillion in debt. It's, look at what's happening in Venezuela as we speak. The food riots, the absolute economic collapse. It's coming here. They're just going around the globe. And the goal is to create absolute, utter chaos, so then they can usher in the one world government. And it's orchestrated. It's a carefully managed agenda. And the only difference, the only thing that'll save it, maybe, in this country, is if Trump gets elected. Because if Hillary gets in, it's over.
We sort of debate this quite a bit. The whole Trump thing, even if Trump, I'm not totally convinced that Trump's not an insider, okay? I'm still a little on the fence on that one, because he's made his money somehow, and it's pretty hard to make billions of dollars if you're against the elite, the Illuminati or whatever. So either he's an insider, or he's been incredibly blessed and God's allowed him to rise to this position in spite of them for such a time. But then if he isn't one of them, then they're not going to easily take kindly to him overthrowing 200 years of work, you know, beginning with Adam Weishaupt in the 1770s with the Illuminati, which I believe it goes back at least that far. And so if Trump is going to step in and make a difference, I don't see these established elites allowing him to just willy-nilly throw the whole lot of them to the dogs.
And I would concur. And that's why they're terrified. That's why you've got guys like Billy Crystal, Washington Standard and all these other guys, third-party runs, and you've got, Paul Ryan that won't back him. All the insiders don't want him because they know if he gets in, he's gonna clean house. He will. He's not going to take – read his book if you want to get an insight into who the man actually is and what he's done. And he's been incredibly lucky but he's also been incredibly shrewd. He's an amazing, amazing businessman. He has a set of work ethics that were handed down to him by his father. He also was in the right place at the right time in many of his deals. And the guy is, you know, you might not like him. You might think he's bombastic, but, you know, he's got more women working for him in places of management than, you know, and of course the media never tells you about that. He's millions and millions of people have turned out and voted in the Republican primary more than any other person in modern history. So he's lit a fire in the party. People love this guy because he's a Washington outsider. And I agree, the Illuminati are running scared. The Washington Beltway crowd are running scared because he's going to clean house. And maybe that's what will happen. I don't know. He needs to watch his back. He needs to watch his back and really, really be careful because there are elements that will never allow him to get to the White House. But he's got my vote. I believe in the guy. I think he's exactly what this country needs.
Well, I can say I'm pretty sure that all the American members and associates with a minute to midnight are all going to be voting Trump because they certainly won't be voting Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it should be Hillary for prison, not Hillary for president.
Well, and she still may get indicted. I mean, it's not over yet.
Yeah, well, yes, we'll have to wait and see on that. But so, yeah, we are heading to, well, everything is heating up in the world, and it definitely looks like Matthew 24 signs and increasing majorly to me. So, yeah, which would lead us towards the Antichrist at some point. I mean, we don't know how long the Book of Revelation exactly stretches for. We know the Antichrist gets 3.5 years, but we don't really know how long the beginning to the end is. But it goes back then towards, they're still building towards that whole system, the whole beast system. I think I first discovered you by watching an episode on the Sid Roth show when you had Dr. Lear on and you were dealing with implants, chip implants that changed the DNA. So has any more sort of come along about that? Have you done any more with that?
We have not done any more. Dr. Lear passed away almost 2 years ago now. Actually, it's been 2 years ago. And so the research has basically stopped. And I want to correct something here so people understand. We theorized that this implant changed the host's DNA. I stick by that. But that's my hypothesis, and I'm sticking with it. Because whoever these entities are, they have spent a great amount of time, energy, and just literally decades with these implants. We do not believe for a moment that they are tracking devices. We believe they are, in fact, the mark of the beast. We think that this will be touted when it's finally revealed as a DNA upgrade to basically lengthen the human lifespan 500 years, 600 years, disease-free. That's what we think it is. But the problem with this is you take the implant, you become Nephilim. You become the seed of a serpent. Your genetics change, and that's why we think it's so pernicious. But it's not a tracking device, Tony. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is so far, so complex. So we have no idea what this thing is, really. We really don't. But we think because of the way it's been embedded, it seems to interface with the human being's nervous system. We used to think the circulatory system, and that it may be, but we think that it's somehow powered and interfaces with the human nervous system. And when we were there, this thing gave off a magnetic field of 8.0 to 8.5 milligauss on a Gauss meter. Richard's fully charged camera gave off 10.0 milligauss on a Gauss meter. So it's like, how can a little embedded chip give off this kind of frequency? How can it possibly have that kind of magnetic field, rather, not frequency, magnetic field? How can it possibly do that? We don't know. We are as much as in the dark as we were then as we are now. I only believe that these entities have a nefarious agenda. These are not benevolent ET from Zeta Reticuli. They are, in fact, the fallen ones. And they come to rob, kill, and destroy. and to create a demonic hybrid, to create man in their own image, and capture as many souls as they possibly can before the end happens.
Yeah, so for people that maybe don't know what we're talking about, can you tell them where they can find that Dr. Lear stuff? Which Watchers episode was it in?
It is Watchers 7 and Watchers 8, and I highly recommend you getting it. Watchers 7 and Watchers 8. We start the process with this guy called Bill, not his real name, in Watchers 7, and we conclude it when we take out the implant in Watchers 8, and it is absolutely astounding material.
Yeah, I do recommend that people actually look into it. It certainly opened my eyes and got me very, interested. I'd never heard anything like that before. And so, yeah, it's probably set me on the road with a lot of the stuff, just that particular, well, watching that particular Sid Roth show episode at the time. I'm also interested in Watchers 9. I know one of the people you had on there was Gil Brassard, and we interviewed him. We interviewed him not so long ago about Planet X. Do you see any role with Planet X in the future?
You know, here's where I'm at with Planet X. It's like we were told, and we actually interviewed Marshall Masters for this, and I like Marshall. You know, he's a nice guy. Okay. I have no axe to grind Marshall or Gil or anybody else. I like Gil. He's a nice guy. Marshall insisted that 2012 was going to bring about the revealing of Planet X. And he was like just adamant about it, just absolutely sure of it. And of course, 2012 came and went, no Planet X. With all due respect to Gil, Gil believed, and he came on Watchers 9 and told us that in March of 2016, if it didn't appear in the fall, than he expected in March 2016. Well, it's not here. And look, something is going on. I get that. And Planet X still may be a reality, which is why I don't totally dismiss it. But I think we've got bigger fish to fry with what's going on in Fukushima. The fact that after 5 years, they've lost the fuel rods. They have no idea where the nuclear fuel rods are that powered reactor 4. They burned through the containment shell, and they're on their way to China. We have no idea where they are. Is it contaminating the groundwater? Absolutely. Is it contaminating the Pacific? More than likely. Why don't we deal with that? Why don't we deal with the crisis, the global crisis, that we're going to see when the dollar collapses? Because there's an economic collapse here. You can't run up a bill of $20 trillion in debt and expect everything to be hunky-dory. It's going to collapse. There's going to be a bank run. The dollar is just paper money. And already silver's made a little bit of an incline, or I should say a climb, an increase, because the Chinese ran up the Chinese yuan as the alternative to the global default currency instead of the U.S. petrodollar. And you can't do that. And this is why the Russians are in the Middle East, and this is what is actually being fought. This is why oil is so cheap, and I mean, on and on it goes. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on here on the planet. I mean, look, if Planet X shows up, that's the ultimate game changer. It's game over at that point, okay? But the sightings that we've seen and keep hearing about, oh my gosh, there's Planet X. They're sun dogs. That's what they are. They're sun dogs over lens flares. So far, there's been no sighting of Planet X. Now, there's been, perturbances of the moon and some of the other planets. Okay, I get all that. And all that may be real, but right now we still don't see it. So where I'm at with this, Gil Brassard, I check his website, see what's going on. I keep my hand very loosely on the Planet X, phenomena, and I keep it on the back burner. I don't discount it yet, but I don't give it a lot of fuel. I don't give it a lot of energy. I think we got bigger fish to fry.
I mean, I'm no expert on it either, and I could well be wrong, but my feeling is that if Planet X is going to show up, it's going to show up later when we're already further into the whole signs of the tribulation and all that. I firmly believe the economic collapse is coming. I think we may be very, very close to it. And we encourage, our listeners on this show to buy silver. That's one of the things that we go on and on, is when this fiat system collapses, gold and silver have always been God's money, and they will be always worth something. So silver is definitely something we promote as something to watch here. And the economic collapse, I don't think it's far away at all. And they are going to use this to bring in the new world order. That's, you know, what I can see happening. A lot of insiders have said that was always the plan, going way back.
I agree.
You know, so it's not like it's happening randomly. It's a deliberate takedown of the system. That's what I see. Now, what about the whole transgender issue? I mean, I've been wondering if there's actually a tie-up between causing gender confusion and with the eventual goal of trying to do away with the idea of male and female from people's consciousness, maybe as part of a sterilization and even a depopulation of the normal human beings. So then they can be superseded by like transhumans, half human, half machine, or humans with altered DNA, or whatever. Because there's a depopulation plan, I believe, and if you can,
I do too. A major depopulation plan, and then on top of that, you've got the blurring of the sexes, this androgyny, the idea that somehow we can chemically create male or female. Well, you can't. I've been following a transgender thing carefully, because it's a major issue to me it's like a red herring with all the issues we're talking about. This is the one that Obama front and centers on, go figure. Trillions of dollars in debt and infrastructure which is crumbling, 92 million people out of work, 60 million people on food stamps, race riots, on and on and on it goes, and this is the issue Obama focuses on. Shame on him. The bottom line for me is this: that when you look at a picture of Baphomet, he's the goat head Satan satanic figure.
Yeah.
It's part goat, and then from the waist down it's like a male, but from the waist up it's female. It has breasts.
Yeah,
and so this is what we see in the occult world. In the occult world, everything goes. You can just pick up your Bible and read what happened with worship of Baal or Ashtaroth, or any of these entities. Go back in history and do your homework. Perversion goes hand in hand with the occult, always. The blurring of the sexes, women prostitutes. This is why when Paul says it's a shameful for a woman to be shorn, to have her hair all cut off, because temple prostitutes were shorn. That's how you knew that they were temple prostitutes. If you were a female and you became a temple prostitute, they'd shave your head. And now we see pop stars like Britney Spears or, you know, Sinead O'Connor doing the same thing. We see absolute in-your-face occult imagery all throughout the Super Bowl and other so-called Madonna's Super Bowl performance several years ago. In-your-face occult, occult-a-go-go, Beyonce, in-your-face occult, hand signs, you know, the Baphomet horns, the whole deal. Lady Gaga singing the opening anthem. Well, they don't show you that, but it's there. Both hands up in the Baphomet gesture. It's absolutely deliberate. They know who's giving them power. They know who it is that they kowtow to. Absolutely. These people are all bought and sold, Illuminati sex slaves, whatever you want to call them. They're all part of the thing. So it's amazing that less than 1% of the population is dictating to us the bathroom issue. Less than 1% of the population is dictating what most people, you know, women go to the ladies' rooms and men go to the men's rooms. That's what it is, and it ain't gonna change. And just because you think you're a woman and you can get all the chemical stuff that you want, you can pump yourself with female hormones, you can, you know, remove your testicles, you can go through the surgery, you can wear women's clothes. There was a YouTube video that went viral. This mother said, well, and she had a quarterback, Green Bay, you know, whatever it was, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, and says, well, if I wear a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform, it doesn't make me a pro football player. And she goes, you know, if I wear a cap and gown of a Supreme Court justice, it doesn't make me a Supreme Court justice. And if someone puts on high heels and a dress, it doesn't make them a woman. And that's the problem here, that no matter how many chemicals we put into ourselves, it's never, ever going to change the actual DNA of that person. So someone like Bruce Jenner, who I think needs a lot of prayer because I think he's really confused. And even now there's already talk over here that now he's having regrets that he's done what he's done. And I understand that because he's living a lie and his DNA is male. No matter how many chemicals he puts it now, how many female hormones he puts into his body, how much makeup, you know, how many dresses, whatever, the DNA is still male. And it's going to show that. So the whole transgender issue, I believe, comes from the depths of the occult. While there are people in this country that have gender issues, and I understand that, and they need to be addressed. And, you know, the churches need to address some of this. But the research I have done into the transgender issue, because it's really risen in the last 6 months, that I think the suicide rate is 20 to 40% higher than the normal. So, and this is after someone who's let's say transitioned and has become the opposite sex, and now they're 8 years into it or 12 years into it. A lot of them actually try to reverse the surgery, which you can't do, but they will stop taking female hormones, even though the surgeries can't be reversed. They will remove their breasts and start living as men again. So I'm just saying, these are very confused people, and they need help. They need prayer. And I also think that in a lot of the cases, and I've never done a study with this, but I'd be willing to bet that in many of the cases, there's sexual molestation happens way back when these kids are very, very young. The sisters could be dressing up the little boys as little girls. Their mothers could be doing it. And that, when you do that to somebody, that really screws with their sexual identity. I mean, that's, you want to take a 2-year-old boy and dress him as a girl, that's going to impact that kid, vice versa, same thing. So I think it goes back, you know, each case would have to be just be very interesting to go back and say, okay, why do you identify as a woman? What happened? Were you dressed as a girl? I mean, you know, what happened in your past? I don't know. And then you get, and this is why it's a complex issue, but then you get people who have major hormonal imbalances. So how does that work? So it's a very complex issue. Always defer to love. Always. Always grace and mercy. Always grace and mercy. But at the same time, that has to be tempered with, you know, how do we work this out? You know, I get the grace and mercy part. But you shouldn't be going into a little girl's bathroom if just because you think you're a female. That's not going to work for me.
No, and they're introducing it to a young age to kids, you know, and the whole thing. I mean, a few years ago, this just never would have even been considered to be an
never,
issue. I mean,
never.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I guess it goes back quite a number of years ago. There was a bloke and his wife that helped me out when I was going through a really rough time, and they were there 24/7. He said, you can ring me anytime or whatever.
Well,
interesting thing with that person was he lived for years as transgender, whatever, as a woman, and then he became a Christian and tossed all that away. And became, I don't know what surgery he had or whatever exactly, but he'd lived as a woman. And then he ended up getting married, and they had a really great marriage, husband and wife, you know. He was no longer living as a woman. He was a man, a man's man. Married a woman. He didn't marry a man. He married a woman. Okay. And they were both incredibly supportive and helpful people. Once they became Christians, totally different. So anybody that totally bags these people and says they're doomed to hell and all that and got no hope, I have to say no.
Yeah, you can't do that. I mean, look, it's always, that's what I just said, it's always grace and mercy. Always.
Yeah.
If Jesus were walking around on the planet right now, he'd go up to those people, he'd touch them, and they'd be healed. I mean, they would be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I just believe that. You know, that's what he does. And that's what, you know, you talked about this guy who lived as a woman and then he became a Christian and things changed. I've heard that story because of my research. You know, when I say research, I mean, I've read some stories, I've read, you know, online and when all this stuff came out with Bruce, there was a Christian guy. Maybe it's the same guy you're talking about. I don't know. Who lived as a woman for like 12 years and then reversed his surgery when he became a Christian. So, I mean, we've heard this story before. And I know that Bruce Jenner is having problems because he's realizing that, well, he's still attracted to women, which is wacky, right? I mean, yeah. He's not attracted to guys. He's attracted to women. But he knows if he marries a woman, that would be wrong because of his Christian faith. So he's like, he's in a bad place, man. The guy needs prayer, period. Needs prayer.
Yeah, I think he was set up. And maybe, you know, who knows what sort of MK Ultra or anything he could have gone to get him into that position because of his status.
But there
just,
you go.
Just going back a little bit to the whole aliens thing, and a potential alien disclosure as we're sort of getting towards running out of time. Do you think things like Project Blue Beam and all that stuff could play a role? Are we going to have some kind of, once all the disaster hits, do you think some sort of disclosure or fake thing or mixture of fake and real? What do you think could play out?
It could, any of those scenarios that you just said are plausible. You could have Project Bluebeam. You could have the false so-called alien invasion. You could have the real deal, mile-wide craft showing up over certain cities. Now what? You know, what do you do with that? Right? I mean, it's a very, very complex mix. We don't really know how disclosure, is going to come down. But it's going to come down. And when it does, it's going to be really, really intense. And everything is going to change. Absolutely everything is going to change. There's no doubt.
I mean, it's even a possibility like they could combine those things. You could have the mile-wide craft and maybe a half a dozen real craft show up, and sure. Then they could Project Bluebeam a whole thousands more of them just by reflection, so you think the whole sky's full of them when it's only half a dozen of them or something.
Exactly. So now what?
Yeah.
So now what? Very, very, very strange. Mm. Very, very strange.
But we see a strong delusion coming down in all kinds of directions, and that is only going to increase. How they're going to exactly play it out is anyone's guess, but they've got the satellite technology and everything out there to be able to do that, or to project a false messiah in the sky, you know, or whatever.
Sure. It's a very complex mix, and I'm not sure, you know, Mile Wide Craft would do it, Project Bluebeam would do it, a mixture of both would do it. I mean, look, if a mile-wide craft, let's run with that one, just one mile-wide craft shows up anywhere and just sits there, it's game over. If a smaller craft just sits there, it's game over. If they really reveal themselves, broad daylight, news crews are out, they're looking at this thing, it's game over. Everything, our life as we know it just changed.
Do you think that the Vatican has any sort of role or inside knowledge in all of this?
Absolutely. I think the Vatican is up to their eyeballs in it. And that's the work of our friends Thomas Warren and Chris Putnam, yeah, with their book, you know, 2016. They've been calling this stuff. They've been following it. And frankly, I agree with them. I think they're right on, spot on with their assessment. I think the Vatican is up to their eyeballs in it.
Yeah.
Scary, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all looking at all this stuff. Do you have any practical suggestions for people? You know, they can be like overwhelmed with all this stuff. What do you suggest that people do at this point?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. First of all, if you don't know, if you think you know the Savior, if you think you know Jesus, but you don't know him, then you don't know him. And I really mean that. And I'm not trying to be coy here or glib with the statement. But, you know, a lot of people think that they know who Yeshua, which is his real name in Hebrew. They think they know who Jesus is, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. If you don't know him, then you don't know him. And he is the Prince of Peace, and he will come into your life, and you can be born from a spirit of a living God. You can have eternal life, and that's what he promises. He can take all those little things that we're burdened with and change us. And it's an ongoing process. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes. Sometimes it can take years to create someone who's now suitable to work for the kingdom. You don't get that way overnight. You don't become a pastor in 5 minutes. It doesn't work that way. And, you know, so the first thing is to get right with him. Understand who he is. Not sure who he is? Crack open your Bible and read the Gospel of John. Just read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God from the beginning. All things were created through him. And without him, nothing that was made was made. I mean, that's what it says, you know? And the Word dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who he was 2,000 years ago. He changed the entire planet and continues to do so. And I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking a personal relationship. Second thing, stockpile food and water. If you're not sure how to work a firearm to protect your family, get a gun class. That's what we did 8-9 years ago. Learn how to discharge a firearm. Learn how to load it, clean it, take care of it, shoot it, go to the range. You know, stockpile food and water. Start a vegetable garden. You know, learn about canning. Learn about the way people survived, 100 years ago. Just stockpile food and water. Stockpile your supply of rice and beans. A family, with 100 pounds of rice and beans, you can survive a year. Two people can survive pretty much for 6 months to a year on 100 pounds each. So those are some basic things that you need to do, in my opinion. Read the Gospel of John. Check out our Watchers series. Go to ppsreport.com. Arm yourself with vital information. It's all there. And thanks for having me on the show, Tony. Really appreciate it.
Okay, so just one last thing before we close. Just tell them again your website.
It is the new TV show is PPS Report, Politics, Prophecy, and a Supernatural Report, ppsreport.com. The website is lamarzulli.net. YouTube is lamarzulli. WordPress blog is lamarzulli.wordpress.com. But, YouTube and PPS Report, TV shows are there. Lots of information. Go check it out.
Awesome. Thank you. It's been fantastic to have you on the show, LA, and I'd love to get you back again before too long.
Let's do it, Tony. Sounds good, man.
Awesome. Cheers for that.
All righty.
Well, folks, I thought that was a great interview with LA Marzulli. I don't know about you, but I could listen to a lot more of that. So hopefully we'll have him back again before too long. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel because we've got other great guests coming up in the very near future. Also, visit aminutetomidnight.com where we post all our videos and audio and also articles on various topics from our team. There is a donate button on the website, and we do really appreciate it. If you feel God leading you to donate something to help us keep this going, that would be really great. And also, I write and record all the music for our shows, so you can help support by supporting rockshoresounds.com if you need production music, royalty free music, or sound effects. Okay, so that's it for A Minute to Midnight today. We should be back with another broadcast in a couple of days.